listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back, guys. Part two is here and it's now, today. I see you guys lining up and getting ready to listen to this segment for Blairon Hoxha, our Marine that has supported us by supporting our country and keeping us safe. Yesterday, we left off with, you know, mental health and how important it is for our Marines, especially to get the right mental health that's needed so they can progress and move forward with a normal life. And even though it's hard for some people to, you know, live day to day due to things that they've seen and things that they had to do, these are some of the things that has happened to them over time. And it's trapped in their body. So they have no way out, really. I wanted to read a letter to you guys. But first, I wanted to just mention, we are talking about Marine Blairon Hoxha, part two of the segment. For people that are just joining in and don't know why they're here, why they're listening, we are seeking to bring awareness to his release as he is being illegally held in jail without his say in court or bail or mental health treatment. So that's what I wanted to let you guys know. So you guys can know pretty much where we're headed with this today. I wanted to read a letter to you guys that one of his Marine buddies sent in to the judge to support Marine Hoxha. He says, "I served with Blairon Hoxha in the Marine Corps. We were in the same squad on multiple combat deployments, and it was truly an honor and a privilege for me. It was an honor because Blairon is a man of integrity, character, and devotion. It was a privilege because he was the sort of Marine that you felt safer being on patrol with. He witnessed many things together, things that do not leave a man unchanged. Our time in the military had a dramatic effect on both of us. During our combat deployments, we were consistently surrounded by people that wished us harm. We witnessed the gruesome death of our brothers, the brutal violence of our enemies, and the tragic death of innocent civilians. We went through things that our average American cannot even fathom. We persisted through these awful times because our response instilled us through training and cemented through real-world experience of a heightened fight or flight. If we were to fight, it would be there and it would be intense through violence of action. If flight was the decision, it was done through a covered withdrawal to a position of safety. There were times when withdrawing to a position of safety, there was no options, and the only option was violence. This was something that at the time seemed normal to us. It wasn't until I was out of the Marines for quite a bit of time that I realized the impact of all of this on my personal, psychological, mental ability. Since leaving the Marine Corps, I've joined another progressive law enforcement position where I achieved rank of being a lieutenant, gotten married, and now I have three young children. I feel blessed every day to have these things in my life. At times, I also feel a sense of guilt. We have friends that didn't make it home, friends that came home too emotionally damaged and took their own lives. And then there was Blairon. I can deeply sympathize with the poor decisions that Blairon has made. The hyperventilating, blood boiling reaction to certain situations, the intense urge to either run from something or fight through it when confronted by stressful situations. It is something that I have had the luxury of being treated for. Countless therapy sessions, group therapy, anger management, and honestly, with loved ones about my condition. It has made my life much more manageable. I still struggle with normal things like marriage, raising children, and also being intensely trapped sometimes, but I feel very lucky to have access to the tools that help me cope. Blairon has not been so lucky. He has made regrettable decisions that have incarcerated him and put him in an environment where his psychological condition is made worse, not better. While speaking with Bleron upon his release, he was beyond excited to resume his life as a husband and a father. I was heartbroken to find out how short-lived his time back at home would be. Bleron's life was the American dream. He came to this country for a better life. He volunteered to serve this country, to protect this country. That life after 9/11. He served with honor, protecting the innocent as well as the Marines to his left and to his right. I beg you, please give him access to the tools he needs so he can resume that American dream. Bleron is more than a Marine. He is an American hero, a hero that needs treatment, not more punishment. And this is from one of his fellow Marines that served time with him. And, you know, these things you can't take back. And some of the things that they had to go through led up to this mental disability that not just Bleron suffers from. It's all throughout any type of law enforcement. It's in any type of military personnel. This is what they go through on a daily basis. I have another letter from another friend that says, I write this letter on behalf of my brother, Bleron Hoxha, in hopes that his honorable release will take action soon. I pray that the honorable court will take into account his exceptional character and military expertise. From 2004 to 2006, I had the privilege of serving with Bleron. When I first met Bleron, he was a young Marine who spent his time studying to become a United States citizen. In a proudest achievements to this day, Bleron and I eventually deployed to Kabul, Afghanistan, Fallujah, and Iraq. At that time, Fallujah was one of the most physical, mental, and emotionally demanding places one could find themselves deployed to. While in Fallujah, we conducted hundreds of foot and vehicle patrols through the crowded city. It was not uncommon for our platoon that we would die someday in combat. Throughout the entire deployment, Bleron's concern for the well-being of his fellow Marines, as well as the local population of Fallujah, stood out all around him. When we returned from this deployment, my time was up in the Marines, but Bleron would later deploy back to Fallujah, this time himself as a squad leader, a testament of his judgment and leadership. The close friendship Bleron and I developed from our deployments carried over the Marines. I would travel to Virginia to visit him, and I would later have the honor of attending his wedding in Albania. I watched as Bleron started a family, noticing the same love and devotion he once shared for his fellow Marines on full duty. It was a true display of an American. This time for his wife and soon-to-be daughter, he had never been so excited when he later found out that he was having a daughter. Bleron made his wife and children his top priority and unfortunately neglected to also focus on his well-being. There is no question Bleron made poor decisions in the past, one that had involved tragic consequences for all. The decision is something he had to reflect on every day of his life for the past 10 years. But no one knows the real story of what happened that day. Bleron was put in a position where he believed he had to also defend himself as he had to defend himself in Fallujah. I asked the Honorable Court to take Bleron's past into consideration, as well as all the work he has done on himself when considering the disposition of this matter. And this is all great, guys, because I tell you what, you know, you don't know what you step into until you step into it. You ever walk and you step somewhere and you realize your foot stepped on some gum and you're like, why is my shoe stuck to the ground? You know, that's just how this worked for the Marines and any military, you know, person. They stepped into something as young Marines and didn't know what they stepped into. And this was really a hard task for Bleron. Not only him, but a lot of other young Marines that have went through similar experiences, you know, of either one, they're walking the streets, blowing through a comb, singing, and thinking they're playing a guitar. You know, these are some of our fellow veterans that are suffering from the mental trauma, and music is the only thing that soothes them and keeps them calm. And a lot of times they give our Marines, you know, and our military personnel so many drugs, they come out and they have to live on these drugs for the rest of their life because they don't know how to cope with the rest of the world. Everything seems just unnormal to them. You know, when you wake up every day and you have a normal routine, it's like an average person. You get up, you know, I have to be at work at this time. I have to drop the kids off at school this time. I have to pick up dinner at this time. You have a schedule. And it's the same thing like Bleron. He had a schedule. And that schedule was wake up, get your fort ready, and get back out there. He was there to serve and protect. These guys were trained killers. When you train someone to kill, this is what they're going to do. And for those many years of being in the military, and this is your program every single day of your life, how do you say, I can come out in the real world and I can function and be normal? It's not to say these people are to be locked away. Our military is never supposed to be locked away, but they are supposed to receive the health, the mental health treatment that they are promised. You know, it's like people see dogs killed on the side of the road. I see people frantically stopping, wondering if they could save the dog. You know, someone hit the dog and left. You know, it's a crime if you do that. So why wouldn't it be a crime to not take care of our military personnel, especially Marine Hoxha? He's no different from anybody else. People started saying, oh, he's Albanian. No, he did it the right way. He became a U.S. citizen. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to say, while I'm in this country, let me support this country. Because in Albania, I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but at a very young age, they take those kids and they put them in the military. Whether you want to go or not, if you want to help your country or not, you're going to be in the military as a young boy. Not a young man, a young boy. And there's no options. You don't have any options in Albania. You do what you're told and you follow instructions. It's not like the American military, the United States of America, where there's options and you can say, no, I don't want to go into the Air Force. No, I don't want to go in the Marines. Well, in that instance, you don't have much of a choice because it's based off of your test scoring. So your test scores tell you where you will need to be. You know what? I'm going to have the producers play the first clip for us.
A lot of the insurgents we faced, some of them were pretty brazen. What I remember about that first day is there were these guys with bandoliers and ammo. Some of the guys would jump in the middle of the street, fire a big barrage of fire, and then jump back into cover. And what was really eerie is I would see some of these guys take fire themselves as we were shooting back at them, and they get hit a few times, and some would continue to run. And so it spooked us out a little because we're like, we're hitting them, and they're not falling.
So can you imagine this Marine saying, hey, listen, guys, we're shooting at these people and no one is actually getting hit. We're running out of bullets. You know, what about the mental trauma from all of this, that you have to actually shoot at someone and you know that they're not even getting hit and now your life is in jeopardy? Usually you fire, you're on target. These are trained killers. They don't shoot to miss. by the way. So, you know, you got to think about some of the mental trauma with these Marines and military personnel of what they go through and what they have to endure and what they see while they're doing it. Let's hear the next clip.
The enemy was cowardly. They used their own guerrilla tactics against us. They would put curtains over the windows and they would hide from us and keep the sunlight out. So when we entered the houses, it was completely blacked out and dark. They'd be hiding in the corner with a PKM belt-fed gun, just pointed right at the door. That's when people would get killed and hurt. We learned quick that all of our conventional tactics didn't really work. You know, we could throw frags in the windows. We threw frags through the doorways. We called in tanks. We'd fire Mark 19 fully automatic grenade launchers at them. We'd run D9 bulldozers right over the house at one point and just crush everybody inside.
So guys, you heard that. So if you're running a bulldozer over human bodies, I mean, he said it. This is what they had to do. You know, they had to fight or flight. And it wasn't about flight. And I tell you, can you imagine, you see, when I'm driving and I see a squirrel and I'm yelling and I'm screaming, get out the road, get out the way. And can you imagine those bodies just being ran over and they didn't even see it coming. But this is what this Marine had to do. Let's hear the next clip.
What you got to understand, too, is we're not hostage rescue dudes. We're not CQB guys. We're Marine Corps infantry. We're like the bulldozer of the military. Like, you want a major problem solved, you throw Marine infantry at it, and we're going to destroy everything in front of us.
Do you hear the mentality? I want you guys to understand, this is a part of the combat training of what they're being trained to do. And then you want this guy to come back out to society and say, hey guys, I'm who I was before I left. It's never going to happen. He wasn't doing that on the streets before he went into the Marines. He's not a hostage rescue guy. He's not here to save you. He's here to take you out. Why? Because he's trained to do so. And that was his mission. Let's hear the next clip.
This entire military is one cohesive, dedicated force. And the threats to our nations, they don't sleep. They're watching our every move. Iran, Russia, China, North Korea, ISIS, Al-Qaeda. They may be watching this right now. Our military should not be mistaken for a cable news gabfest show. We don't care what you look like. We don't care who you voted for, who you worship, what you worship, who you love. It doesn't matter if your dad left you millions when he died or if you knew who your father was. We have been honed into a machine of lethal moving parts that you would be wise to avoid if you know what's good for you. We will not be intimidated. We will not back down. We've seen war. We don't want war. But if you want war with the United States of America, there's one thing I can promise you, so help me God. Someone else will raise your sons and daughters.
Now, you hear that, guys? That is like a direct threat. And guess what? He received a Medal of Honor as a hero for the Marines. They honored him. Okay? I won't mention any names, but I'll give you something to go research. He was honored because he did what he was supposed to do. Okay, and this man is now retired. He's in the real world and he's sending a message to you guys. And it's a very serious message. So you really have to think about the mental health of what he has been through. And then you can get an idea of why, especially the Marines, are the way they are and what missions they get sent out on. I got one more clip I need you guys to hear.
Major Zimbach is he was a man amongst men, right? He was called the Lion of Fallujah. Before we went into the city, he stood up on a tank and he said, the dogs of Fallujah will go fat off of feasting of the dead bodies we laid to waste. And that's exactly what happened. I actually have a dog with a hand in its mouth on my kneecap from that deployment. There were so many bodies that they weren't whole after a couple days. Legs, limbs, chunks were missing. You just see dogs running with fucking arms in their mouth, and you're desensitized. And you're like, you can't even make this shit up.
Guys, will you hear the emotional trauma behind what this Marine had to witness as far as limbs, body parts, dogs feasting off of human bodies, a whole human graveyard that these Marines were forced to create? And what's a little disturbing is America, and I'll say Congress, I'll say that. And this is public information. It's no big secret here. They give away billions of dollars. As a matter of fact, before this took place in Fallujah, they already had budgets set up for Fallujah and Iraq to rebuild. So you go in, you have these guys trained, these trained killers, go in, wipe out the whole entire country, and then you rebuild it. America rebuilds it. So it kind of makes me wonder, you know, and not trying to be biased or anything here, but it makes you wonder, why is America in debt? You know, it's blame the Democrats, blame the Democrats, blame the Republicans, blame them, you know, but who's making the decisions to spend the money? It's not that the Democrats spent all the money on public housing. It's not that. It's not welfare. If you're sending Marines, and of course you're giving them a paycheck because they still have to take care of their families at home in America. So they're getting a paycheck. The paycheck is coming home. You're paying them for a job, for that mission. And then you're taking control and rebuilding that so you can be in control of a situation. Not of a situation of we have terrorists and we need you Marines to go in there and, you know, take all the bad guys out. We're talking about mothers. We're talking about babies. Can you imagine? You know, there's people on trial today for killing their kids, babies, let's say. Right? And they wonder why the person has no remorse. Why is this person blank? Why are they in a blank stare? Because they threw their kid in the ocean and said, forget about it. They say that person has mental issues. They have mental health issues. It's no different from these Marines and military personnel that have to endure this type of training, and you have that mission to kill, to watch get eaten, to watch get tortured, to use any deadly force you see fit to make sure you end it. And it and them, that is the mission. How can they possibly think without the right mental health treatment that anybody can come out of the military and be mentally sane. It's impossible. You ever have a situation where you're on the road and you see a really bad accident and you say to yourself, you know, I can't believe that just happened. And then you go home and you tell your family members or your friends and you say, this accident was horrible. It was this, it was that. You have someone to talk to about this issue. They don't. It's a lot of things that went on in Fallujah that no one will ever know because they're sworn to secrecy and those things can never be talked about. They can't tell you, oh, what my commander told me to do. They can't tell you this lady had a baby and they told me to blow her up. These are the traumas that these military personnel are living with every day of their life with no emotional support, no help. As soon as something happens, you know what? They're guilty. Blairon Hoxha had an incident in 2012 where he was at a gas station. Okay, just getting out of the military, just getting out of Fallujah, just getting out of that second run in Fallujah. And he's approached by two guys at a gas station trying to be bullies. See, they leave out the fine detail in the media. They'll never tell you what really happened. You'll only know what really happened from the people that were there or the camera footage that can paint the story for you. And then you can make your own view of what you see. No one mentioned in that case where he served 10 years for shooting two guys. Okay, they failed to leave out that they also had guns. Mysteriously, that part of his case was left out of it. See, people get to pick and choose what they want to leave out of stories. You know, and they get to paint their own picture. And unfortunately, you can be innocent and they still want you to take their deal. Why? Because they're getting paid to make that deal happen for you. Okay. Now you got to realize once there's law enforcement, family members involved, oh yeah, they want to nail you to the cross because it's a favor for a favor business. It's not about who's right and who's wrong. No one is going to ever want to hold the skirt on that one because everybody wants to be right and they want you to be wrong. And unfortunately, it's a sad thing, but these are some of the things that happen and it happens to good people. Unfortunately, good people have to suffer for the people that do them wrong. And Blairon Hoxha now is in jail still in Manassas, Virginia, where the prosecutor won't even look at any evidence, true or false. Won't even say, let's hear this guy's side of the story. Maybe he's going to tell us the truth. And maybe we can make a decision on where we can get him some help from. Because obviously, if there's ongoing situations, he needs a little help. Putting him in a cage is not the answer. In 2023, Maureen Hoxha made another decision that was not a good decision, but it was a reaction to an action. And that part about Maureen Hoxha is being overlooked. There's a statement that Maureen Hoxha gave. He gave this statement because this was a true statement. And his statement is, I went to attend my son's soccer game on August 26, 2023. I was alerted by my son waving his hand to get my attention. I was about 40 feet away upon going to see what the issue was. My son was crying, holding his head, screaming, breathing really hard as I tried to calm him down and give him water to see what was wrong with him. He stated that his coach yelled at him and made racist remarks, stating the coach called him a white boy and to get his ass back out here, and asking him about being a crybaby because he bent down to tie his sneakers. As a parent, I was concerned, so I proceeded to the coach and he asked, "Is your son okay?" And I stated, "No, he's not okay." The coach demanded that his son return to the field. And again, I said, "He's not okay." I asked the coach if I could speak to him for a moment. He began shouting at me to get me the hell off the field. I wanted to speak with him to ask him what was said to my son as a concerned parent. And the coach said, "If I have to tell you one more time, I will push you off the field." As I continued to ask to speak with the coach about the racist remarks he made to my son, the coach became very aggressive and angry while yelling in my face, asking if I was an immigrant and did I understand English. What he said about pushing me off the field, he was spitting in my face as he yelled. Before I knew it, I felt that I was in danger due to the racist remarks and the coach's aggressive behavior towards my son. I felt as though I needed to defend myself to get him out of my face, and I threw a punch, not realizing that my son's metal water bottle was in my hand during the altercation as it happened suddenly, and I was in fear for my own safety due to the threats from the coach. Now, does that sound like someone being taunted into doing something? Well, I tell you what, like I said yesterday, the video was played in slow motion because we have video of what happened there on that soccer field. And if you play that video in slow motion, that video shows the coach is being aggressive. First of all, the coach is being aggressive with a Marine who has just got out of prison for assaulting two other people who showed aggression, unnecessary aggression over a gas pump. And now you got this coach yelling, screaming, spitting in his face. And not only that, because as Maureen Hoxha said, it happened so suddenly. Okay? So he's in his face. But when you see that video, they're never going to want to show that video in slow motion. They're going to fast forward it like they've been doing. That video in slow motion shows that coach, his hand goes up first and Maureen Hoxha hand goes up second. And the part with Maureen Hoxha going up second, that's the only part they want you to see. They want you to see he's violent. He's crazy. He has mental issues. Those are things that may be true to a certain extent. But this coach provoked this parent into defending himself. You're spitting in the guy's face. You're yelling. You're using profanity. And not only that, but you're saying derogatory things to his kid. And you know what? That's never going to be okay. So guess what? The son decided that he has some say-so about this. Take a listen.
So when I bent down to tie my sneaker, the coach just yelled at me and said, "Hey, white boy, get your ass up." And I just started crying because he said that in a rude way. And then he said, has anyone taught you how to stop crying? And I tried to call my dad over a few times until he finally looked. And I told him what happened. And things went downhill from there because coach, I think, went up to him a little bit, and then that's when the incident happened.
So you got wow. You guys hear it from the horse's mouth. You hear exactly what the victim has to say. The victim being a 10-year-old boy that this coach felt like he could just say whatever he wanted to say to him. And it was okay. He felt like this kid, I mean, who talks to someone's kid like that and you're a coach? You know, coaches are supposed to be held to a higher standard. And that's why they have Safe Sport, who did nothing to protect this 10-year-old either, by the way. You know, they should be called out for some of their shenanigans, because you can't abuse a kid verbally and reports are being filed and there's no repercussions for it. Everything that Marine Hoxha said happened that day, his 10-year-old son showed up in court ready to testify, thinking his dad was going to trial. Of course, he's 10. He doesn't know how this court system works. It's a process. It's an arraignment. It's, you know, different court dates, motions to be filed. He's 10 years old. He doesn't know that. But what he did know was he had the courage to show up and say, I want to say what happened that day. I want to tell the jury what this coach did to me and how my dad came to my defense to defend me. And like I said, the water bottle, they're charging him with assault, deadly assault with a weapon, a water bottle that he was holding that didn't even belong to him. It belonged to his son. So when he needs a little sip of water, when he's off of the field, dad has his cup. Take a sip. Not that he intentionally went on the field. You know, there's so many stories going around. He beat this coach unconscious. Mind you, this coach was still going out drinking. He was still riding his motorcycle. He was still going to parties. And this is all like 2 weeks after this happened. That coach was back out there having a good time. Thank goodness for great investigators that prove it. So it's not just hearsay, but he was having a great time. And guess what? When this was going to be presented as evidence, guess what they did? They had the victim go back and recant his story on what happened that day. Because for some strange reason, they left the 10-year-old out of it. They made it seem like crazy dad, ex-Marine, retired Marine, on his meds, walked out to the field. Coach, can I talk to you? And just start beating him with the metal water cup. That is not what happened, guys. And it's time for people to stand up for what is right. Even though I got some messages, people said, you know, you bringing this out on the air, you know, you better watch yourself because they may make you a target, might want to take you out or something to that, you know, extent. But why would you want to take out someone who's just repeating the truth of a 10-year-old? And all he wants to do is see his father. He feels like he is the blame for what happened. Because guess what? Something was done to him and he said, an adult did it to me and I'm going to tell what happened. Imagine if the coach was to do something really bad, like touch inappropriately. Let's just say if that was to happen. Not that it did, but if it was to happen and this kid remained silent. It's situations like these that they feel like kids are not supposed to tell. But this kid stood up for what is right and said, I am going to tell because this is the right thing to do. He said something bad and inappropriate to me. And kids are taught this at a young age. If someone touches you inappropriately, someone says something inappropriately, if you don't feel comfortable about the conversation, they let them know ahead of time. These things are not things that adults do to children. And guess what? He recognized that this was an adult doing it to him as a child. So he felt that it was his duty to signal his father, get his attention, and tell what happened. And not only that, but there's witnesses that were there. There was family members that were there. that entire day that witnessed what happened. And there are statements from those family members that was never even accepted by the prosecution. They weren't even looked at. They made the decision to have a blind eye and a deaf ear, and they see nothing. They only see the fast forward of that video of Marine Hoxha defending himself from a very aggressive coach. But they will not play that part of it to show what really happened that day. And I'm trying to understand the prosecution. You know, how do you get to play little segments of what you want to play and nothing else? It's kind of weird, you know? You just want to play this little clip of the water bottle going up. You don't want to play the whole thing that you have as evidence. Why would you only want to fast forward it to that part? This seems like it's a political move. And it's politics in that little state there, you know, and you can't get around it. So it just goes to show you that Marine Hoxha will not have a fair day in court unless someone advocates for him and say, Marine Hoxha deserves to be treated fairly so he could have his day in court of the truth. And the only advocate that wanted to stand up for him, besides all of these witnesses, is his son. His 10-year-old son had the courage. You can't even get people of adult age to have courage when they see a shooting to say, I saw what happened and I know who did it. You can't even find those people to have the courage for these type of situations at hand. But you have this 10-year-old willing to say, he used to go to school every day. He has friends in school every day. And they have to know that his dad assaulted the soccer coach. What does this kid have to go through every day of his life knowing these things? And then he's in the middle of everything. He's a witness. He's a child. He's a soccer player. It's just a very sad thing that a child has to go through. And guess what, guys? His mom had to say that she needed to get him some therapy because he was having nightmares at night. He couldn't even go to sleep because he felt like he was the blame of destroying his father's life. And all he wanted to do was skip school, go to that courthouse, and tell the truth of what happened that day. The coach never told that story. You guys could Google it, by the way. Blairond Hoxha. And you'll see the story with the coach. Never does he mention what he did to that kid. Never did he mention it. And any of his statements, any of his videos with the black eye shining, never. So this goes to show you how people leave out what they want to leave out, and they leave out the fine print for very important reasons. Okay? They feel like they can keep this Marine jailed on something that he served time for before. He's violent. Keep him in. So guys, what I want to tell you is we're advocating for Marine Hoxha. If you guys have it in your hearts to write a letter to Congress, to the Senate, to judges, and let them know the truth is out now. Because guess what? There's taxpayers paying for this. It's not costing anybody a dime except the taxpayers. They're the only ones paying. We're the only ones paying. Every time someone goes to jail, gets locked up, incarcerated, they didn't do the crime, they're really not guilty. We're paying for a mock trial, a fake prosecution. We're paying for it. Only us. And you wonder why you've given the government $30,000 of your paycheck for the entire year, and you only get back $3,500 when you file your taxes. Because you're paying for people's mistakes. I call it sophisticated slavery. That's basically what it is. If you are paying to run the government, because you're a taxpayer. Why don't you have a say-so about how they conduct this judicial system? If you're paying your taxes, it's coming out of your paycheck. You're paying one way or another way, but you're paying. You should be able to have some say-so about something that happens to your fellow military personnel, to your fellow Americans or not Americans. You should have some say-so about something. America, you've been quiet for too long. You have to speak up at some point in time. You know what Congress says? We sit in this seat every year after year because no one comes out to vote. So we have our little clique that votes us in. So we get to sit in this seat and we get to make those judicial decisions because no one votes on it. And then people wonder, why is this happening? Why is that happening? What I notice with people, you only want to take a stand when something directly affects your life. Do not think that you are exempt from things happening to you. Anything could happen at any given time. You could be in a position of getting pulled over, asking, why is the officer pulling you over? Just asking a question, and that officer may be having a bad day and feel like you're being aggressive because you asked the question, and pull you out of that car and push you to the ground. And then you have to defend yourself. And now you're arrested for assaulting a police officer. No one is exempt from anything today. And that's what I wanted to let you guys know, because people sometimes they forget, you know, they get too comfortable in their positions that they have. They're getting the weekly paycheck. They're getting their little bit of tax money that they don't even know why they're getting that little bit when they should be getting more than that. People, this is about awareness. It's not even about Marine Hoxha. It's about awareness, because what happened to him could happen to you. And you could be that innocent person just as well. So with that being said, guys, I'd like to thank you for joining me. It's been such a great time with you guys over these last 2 days. I look forward to being back on the air. More to talk about coming soon. 27.65 million listeners on today. Thank you guys for joining me. Look out for me on the web. Same bat place, same bat time. Thank you, LA Talk Radio. Bye, guys.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.